A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Very good morning, Namibia. So, good morning wherever you find yourself in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful land of savannas, land of the brave, the land we love, the land we call Namibia. So, how are you doing? Wherever you are, how is the weather in your town, in your area? So it's in the morning, it's quite pretty good right here. So it's getting, we have always this pretty cool, you know, cool weather. So yeah, I'm loving it for a moment. Yesterday it was really, really, really nice weather. Hopefully it stays the same. Hopefully it's the same the whole day today. I enjoyed the weather yesterday. Hopefully it's the same today. So good morning. How is your weather wherever you are? Are you getting some rain? Talked to someone yesterday in Kavango and he was telling me it's raining. I can't hear you. Okay. So probably it's raining in Kavango. So, and in Katima, how is the weather like in your, in Katima Mulilo? So is it still burning? As it say, Katima Mulilo, you know. So, and how are you doing in the south? Are you good? Is everything all right? Okay. In the coast, at the coast? Oh, I'm missing some people in the coast. You know, what happened to the coast people? Yeah? Where are you? I don't hear you anymore. All right. So, in the coast, how are things, man? We're missing you. Some of you, we're missing you in the coast. All right. Come back. What happened? So good morning to you, and good morning everyone. And here, right here in Inondangwa, Shakati Ongwediva, in the north, how are you this morning? So it's 8:07, it's your time right now, and good morning to you. Welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station in the land. So, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshaveli. This is your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. Now, the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those of Eagle FM, and we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation as well. So, this is your space. This is your this is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So very good morning to you if you're just joining us now, and welcome on board. Welcome, and it's a pleasure having you right now. It's a pleasure, you know, to have you, and for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company right now. And we are coming live. We're coming direct to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So, yeah, today is the 5th of November, and in our segment of On This Day in Africa, we're looking at what event took place, significant event that have taken, some of those that have changed the course of history on our continent. So what event have taken place, a significant event that happened on this day in Africa. On the 5th of November, that 1964, in what is now Zimbabwe, a referendum was held in southern Rhodesia, this is now Zimbabwe, where the white-dominated electorate voted on the question of independence under the 1961 Constitution. The vote resulted in more than 90% voting yes, but it is widely noted that less than 15% of the total voter roll was actually Black African. Now, meaning the outcome did not reflect the will of the majority of the territory's population. Now, while not immediately granting full independence, this step significantly escalated tensions between the Rhodesia government, which was led by Jan Smith, and the British government over the question of majority Black rule. And the following year then, on the 5th of November 1965, the United Nations General Assembly adopted the resolution 2022 XX on the question of Southern Rhodesia. Now, the resolution reaffirmed that any declaration of independence which not based on universal adult suffrage would not be recognized, and condemned racial discrimination under the minority rule regime. So this happened just days before the Rhodesian government declared its unilateral declaration of independence on the 11th of November 1965. So the resolution signaled a broad international opposition, including many African states, to the maintenance of white minority rule in Southern Africa, and presaged a sanctions and diplomatic isolation of Rhodesia. So, today, on an international level, the day is a World Tsunami Awareness Day. Okay, today is a World Tsunami Awareness Day. The day aims to raise global awareness about the danger of tsunamis and the importance of early warning system and preparedness to mitigate their impact. So the day was established by the United Nations General Assembly in 2015, followed a proposal from Japan. All right. So today it's a World Tsunami Day. So, well, should we in Africa, especially in Namibia, should be worried about tsunami? Well, given the weather, what is it, the climate change, so you cannot say no. So, it raises awareness on, about the danger of tsunamis and the importance of the early warning system and preparedness. Are we prepared, you know, if that happens in our land of the brave? So, yeah, that today's the day to understand what this is all about. All right, good morning. And today is Wednesday, isn't it? Yeah, it's Wednesday. Yeah, I'm getting old, so sometimes I can forget, you know, sometimes you forget. When you're getting old, you become forgetful. All right, so our thought for the day, jealousy start from the eyes. Yeah, jealousy start from the eyes. Now, the proverb uses the eyes as a metaphorical entry point for jealousy. In other words, you first see someone else's success, good fortune, qualities or possessions, and that triggers the feeling of jealousy. Now, the proverb implies that jealousy often begins with external comparison. I see what you have that I don't have. So rather than starting from reflection on one's own state. So the proverb suggests that by controlling where the eyes or mind go, by focusing less on others and more on one's own journey, one may avoid start of jealousy. So instead of letting your eyes wander with envy, shift what you look at. So perhaps highlight your own strength, you know, support others' success, and reassess what your value are. So reassess what you value. So that's our thought for the day. Jealousy starts from the eyes. So as the days goes on, and you are reassessing what you value, well, make sure that your eyes, you know, focus less on others and more on your own journey. So that's our thought for the day this morning. So welcome and thanks for joining us. If you're just getting on board, so you're mostly welcome. It's a great pleasure to have you and thanks for joining us. So what can you expect? We're looking at, I think 2 weeks ago or something like that, we look at something about need, and not maybe, could be last month, not 2 weeks ago. Last month, we talked something about NIDA. Today, it's something very interesting as well. We're going to look at NIDA. NIDA leases estate land for $1 a month. So, leases state land for $1 a month. So, we're going to look at that. And yesterday, we could have looked at the beef export that have dropped about 50%. If we have time, we're going to look at that as well. And of course, as usual, your participation will also be part of the show. So make sure that you are part of our unpacking analysis. So good morning. Thank you for joining me. And I will be back. We will be back after this.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM.
All right, please do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on our social platforms, on social media platforms. We are on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Telegram, on WhatsApp. So make sure that you engage us on those social media platforms. Make sure you leave a like or a comment. Give us some feedback on some of our even on our shows. So give us feedback on what we are feeding you on those social media. Make sure that you keep on, you know, we're one of those our social medias really get engaged almost every minute. So make sure that you pop up there and check what is the update on some of those social platforms. All right. So good morning. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. So we take the headlines apart. So that's what we do. We take the headlines, really turn it apart, and look beneath the surface. So that's what we do here at Unpacking the Day. So now today, this is really something that I would be really passionate about this. So because I'm going to be a community activist. I'm a community activist. So what are we talking about this morning? We're asking this one serious question. Now, how does an industrial development agency, I'm talking about NIDA now. Now, how does an industrial development agency meant to grow the Namibian economy end up leasing state land for $1 a month. Now, end up leasing the state land for $1 a month while losing millions in fruit deliveries that were never paid for. So here, you're leasing state land for $1 a month, and on the other hand, you're losing also millions in fruit and fruit deliveries that were never paid for. Now, think about that as we go through this, because that is at the heart of what we're talking about. Now, the Namibia Industry Development Agency, NIDA, has been leasing state land, you know, prime economic land, at prices that make you wonder where, these prices make you wonder whether there is a secret supermarket somewhere handing out national asset on buy one, get 49 years free. Those kind of like, okay, so you go to the supermarket where now handing out this national asset. You know, the promo is that buy one, get 49 years or 50 years free deal, you know? So that's what we're going to unpack this morning. So now, let me give you a bit of the context, okay? So that you understand what we're talking about. Now, NIDA, the Namibia Industrial Development Agency, Namibia Industrial Development Agency, was set up in 2018 through a merger between the Namibian Development Corporation, NDC, and the Offshore Development Company. So now the goal was simple. The goal was very, 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 very simple: to accelerate industrialization, create jobs, and manage public assets to stimulate business. That was the goal. So create industrialization, create jobs, you know, accelerate industrialization, you know, because this was very crucial to our Vision 2030. This company, this institution, was very, 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 very at the strategic position of our Vision 2030. So accelerate industrialization, create jobs, manage public assets to stimulate business. Now, in law, NIDA operate under the Namibia Industrial Development Agency Act of 2016. Now, which give it power. So when we're going to talk about leasing the land, it give it power . What is going on here? All right. Am I on? Okay. Yes, I'm back. All right. Now, in law, NIDA operate under the Namibia Industrial Development Agency Act of 2016, which give it the power now to lease, to sell, or manage state-owned industrial property. Okay? So understand that background when we talk about leasing the land, selling what, and all that. Now, but always in line with national development goals. Those has to be in line with the national development goals. And always, definitely has to be in the public interest. Okay? So, now, according now to the investigation by the Windhoek Observer, investigation by the Windhoek Observer, NIDA has been leasing land for as little as $1 per month in supplying fruits worth up to 15 million to retailer without actually collecting a cent in return. So two things: leasing land for as little as one Namibian dollar per month, okay? And also then supplying actually fruits worth up to 15 million to retailer without it collecting a cent in return. All right? So, now, remember this. This is the country that, I mean, this is a company that cries for whatever. Now, let's sit with that. Okay? Let's with that for a moment. Now, $15 million worth of produce gone. Okay? Gone. Remember that? Without, they didn't ask, they just supply produce, worth of that to retailer without actually collecting a cent in return. Now, you may have your question already. You know, why that's happening. $15 million worth of produce gone. Public land leased for decades. Practically given away. All right? Practically given away. And this from an agency now. This is now from an agency that reported a loss of 102 million in its last financial year. So now you can really ask a question. What is really going on here? Now, so $15 million worth of produce gone, and the public land is being leased practically, as I said, you're practically giving this away for free, $1 per month. And on top of this is an agency now that has reported a loss of 102 million in their last financial year. All right. Now when you look closer, you can ask really now a normal individual like you and mine, like you and me would ask, what is going on? Okay. That make me interested also to go deeper into the stories. What is really happening here? When you look closer, this is not just about, accounting or sloppy paperwork. Eh? I think there's more to that. I think it speaks to a culture of weak governance, a culture of poor oversight, and perhaps, a sense of impunity in managing actually state assets. Yes, a sense of impunity in managing state assets. Now, think of this. If you have ever driven past Notre Dame near Kirtmansrup, you will note the last vineyard there. Part of the, that's a part of NIDA's agribusiness project. So, those grapes and dates are supposed to help the country. You know, we're talking about diversifying our economy. The grapes and dates are supposed to help the country diversify beyond the mining and fishing, and bringing in export revenue. Well, and also because it's in the rural, create also rural job. That was the reason for things like those vineyards as well, those agribusiness projects. So it's to diversify beyond mining and bring in export revenue and also create rural jobs. But according to the internal reports, the fruits have been delivered to major retailers, some for many years, with little to no payment at all. Yeah? No payment received. Follow that story in the Observer, in Windhoek Observer. So for some years, and this was now delivered to major retailer. And this is not just about 1 month or something. In some cases, it's for many years. With little to no payment received at all. Now, you have to ask, really, you have to ask, how does a state agency keeping supplying for years without demanding payment? Estate agencies keep supplying these fruits or this produce for many years without demanding payment. Now, a normal person would, now you're looking at that, you follow the story and you ask, well, is this negligence? Or is it incompetence? Or is there a deliberate effort to benefit certain players quietly? Well, that can come. That's come to your thought as well. So, is it negligence? Is it incompetence? Is it, what is it? Eh? Lack of oversight, which is actually incompetence. Or maybe this is done more deliberately because someone else is benefiting. And we have laws. Namibia has strong laws on this. We have laws, very strong laws on this. We have the Public Finance Management Act, the PFMA. So the Public Finance Management Act is very, 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 very clear. Very clear. Any public entity handling government money must ensure that resources are used efficiently and economically. That's a Public Finance Management Act. So it's very clear. And Section 17 of that act even make it a criminal offense to misuse or mismanage public funds. So the laws are there. And this is another thing, the oversight that we're talking about. Laws are there. They are not being implemented. Eh? So, when a government agency failed to collect million in revenues, and we're not just talking about mismanagement, seriously. We might be looking with the law, we might be looking at the potential breach of financial discipline. And why something is not being done? Why? Because the law is very clear. Eh? As I said, I look at the Section 17 of that act, said it makes it clear, it makes it a criminal offense to misuse or mismanage public funds. Why some heads are not spinning? We need to see heads spinning, really. So, now, Let's move to the other issue, the land lease, right? And this is where we're definitely going to have fun, if you follow the story. So now the Windhoek Observer found that companies were given land at one Namibian dollar per month, some $5, some $10, and sometimes even left it unused. Actually, some land have been left unused, So now, given that would cost you $1 per month, and that land has never been used. Now, some of these deals also, according to the article, also stretch over 30 years, 40 years, even 50 years. With option also, again, with option to renew for almost a lifetime. Really? Yeah? Now, imagine leasing a private land in Wavish Bay, Ochvarongo, or Karibib, and paying less than what most people spend on a cup of tea. Yeah? $1 per month. Yeah? Now, one lease in Wavish Bay, okay? And this is one lease in Wavish Bay, 5.6 hectares, is going for just $1 per month for 50 years. And another 5,600 square meter plot for $10 a month. Now, when you think of that, and you think of the ordinary Namibian who is struggling to find an affordable industrial land where they can just, you know, do their business. Yeah? Ordinary Namibia is struggling to find affordable industrial land or even just a space to start a small manufacturing maybe operations. And you have and you have places, you know, government land that goes for, you know, $1 per month and $10 a month. And I think this contrast definitely stinks. It does stink. Huh? So just think about it. As I said, you don't need it the story like that just bring up so much. Eh? It just bring up really so much. And now, so maybe let's look at the policy logic behind this. Okay? Let's unpack the policy logic behind all this. Now, what I'm trying to say is that sometimes the government gives discount leases, you know, to encourage investment. And that's fair, you know? So, yeah, it happens sometimes. So it's a form of industrial incentive, if you like. You know, it's an industrial incentive, especially if the tenant maybe will build infrastructure, would employ people, would export good. So you give a discounted leases, you give a discounted lease to encourage that investment. So, and as I said, that's normally a practice. It's a fair practice in that way. So and also, that approach also aligned with Vision 2030. It's also aligned with Vision 2030 and the NDP 6, both of which call for public-private collaboration to grow industry. So as now we can see, there was a launch of the public-private, you know, partnership forum. So it this whole idea, you know, discounted lease, but to the level of a $1, a $10, well, let's go beyond a little bit of that's more like a giveaway, you know. So, as I said, definitely this is done to align also with the vision of Vision 2030 and also NDP6 this time. And, yeah, this is also in Harambe Prosperity Plan. Also those are also in there. So, which means, as I said, which call for public-private collaboration to grow the industry. So, but, and I think this is a big one, a big but. Now, those incentives must have, and this must be very clear, those incentives must have a clear deliverables. You know, if a company gets a land of $1 Namibian dollar, we expect to see a factory, eh? Not a fence of empty plot gathering actually dust, as in some cases. We expect to see a factory. We expect to see something that is happening. So now you ask, so where are the monitoring report? Where are the monitoring report? Where are the data showing now jobs created? In this case now, in the case of NIDA now, where are the report? A monitoring report, where are the data that showing job, how many jobs were created, how many export were made, taxes paid, eh? Where are the reports? So, if those doesn't exist, if those don't exist, then we have crossed the line. We have crossed the line. Yeah. From developing incentive into, as I said, into a public resources giveaway. It's no longer, you know, that way is no longer a development incentive. It becomes a public resources giveaway. Mahala, where we're just giving away for Mahala. Now, some of these leases were signed before 2020. All right? And that's when NIDA was still finding its feet, you know, merging two institutions, you know, cleaning up old contract. But it is now 2025, 5 years later. And the excuses are really, really wearing thin, you know. They're wearing thin. We have also learned that some of these companies have linked to political, to political connected individuals or people previously implicated in other state deals. Yeah? So one name that actually pop up, if you read the story, is Cornelius Cedric Willemse, a co-accuser in the NAMCO corruption case, who was once involved in one of the companies leasing from NIDA. Well, even though it's also in the story indicated that the partnership ended, it still raises the question, serious question about who get access to these deals and why. So, because listeners, my dear listeners, when the same small circle of people keep benefiting from public land, it is not just bad optics, okay? It's not just bad to see. It's a betrayal of public trust. You know, you are trusted to manage and grow the industry from these resources that we trusted you to. And what do? So there is this small circle of people who keep benefiting from this. Now, let's quickly look at some of the numbers, okay? And maybe, as I told you, I always said I love numbers, all right? Now, because they always tell their stories. They tell the stories. Learn to focus on numbers. They tell the stories. Now, in 2024, NIDA's income came from five major streams, okay? Agribusiness sales, which was about 31 million. And then you have property rentals, 44 million. Then you have dividends and interest, 42 million. Government grant, 26 million. And a breeding gains, that's about 19 million. So now it's up. If you add up all those, I wasn't too good at math. So that's actually over 160 million in income. Okay? 160 million in income. Now, the funny thing is that yet the agency still recorded a loss of 102 million. So 160 million in income, and the agency still recorded a loss of 102 million. Well, that is, how do you call this? It's not even a red flag. You know, something has to be more reddish, you know? That's a financial red flag waving right in our faces, or in the faces of those who should be actually taking accountability. It tells us the problem isn't just about income. When you look at the income, it's not just about income. It's about inefficiency. It's a leakage. There's a leakage somewhere. So if a land is leased, it's leased out for almost nothing, and the produce that comes out of it isn't being paid for, as the story says. Now, where is the return for taxpayers? Where is our return? Where is our return? Where is the accountability of the Namibian to the Namibian people? Where is the accountability to us, to the Namibian people? Madam President, I said we need to see the head spinning here. Now, let's unpack on the governance side, okay? Let's look at the governance side. Now, if you follow the stories as well, NIDA board has refused to comment publicly. The chairperson reportedly told a journalist, and I'm quote, "Why should I speak to you?" You know, and then they hang up, according to the story. Now, the response alone says a lot. Yeah? It says a lot. It tells us that transparency is not a culture. It is nuances, you know? Now, and when leaders treat public scrutiny as an inconvenience, that's when, you know, corruption really festers. Interestingly, according to the story as well, Insider says the former acting CEO, Rikwell Lukonga, was dismissed earlier this year after trying to address some of these very issues. Now, he was reportedly removed before his contract had ended. So if that is true, it shows how fragile reform can be when political interests are at stake. Yeah? So, okay. Now, let's bring this together. Let's step back and connect this to the bigger picture now. All right? Now, at this point in time, Namibia's economy is really struggling with low industrial growth. And this is the company that's supposed to do that. And you can see why we are struggling. We're struggling with low industrial growth. We're struggling with high unemployment and over-reliance on imports. Absolutely what this company, this institution, this agency have failed it. You know? So NIDA was supposed to be part of the solution. It was supposed to be part of that. A driver of local manufacturing, agro-processing, and job creation. When the very agency that is meant to industrialize the nation becomes a site of mismanagement, so definitely that delays progress for everyone. It does delay progress for everyone. Because we have our trust in this institution, in this agency, you know, to do that. We don't know how that also affect. It affects your child. It affects your brother or your sister or your child sitting at home right now without a job. It's because of NIDA. Because they were the driver of local manufacturing. They were the driver of agro-processing. They were the driver of job creation. And because they didn't do that, because of their mismanagement, we all sit here with, you know, with our brothers and sisters idle at home doing nothing, without any money, factories. Yeah? So every hectare of the land given away without, you know, without value. It means that one less opportunity for a genuine entrepreneur who could actually have used that productively. Now, every unpaid fruit, you know, delivered means less money to reinvest. If you're just delivering fruit and you're not claiming the money, well, at least it doesn't come maybe in the agency, it goes somewhere. That's less money now to reinvest in the next harvest. It also means fewer jobs for rural workers who dependent on those farms. Now, imagine you are a small farmer, okay? You know, you are a small farmer in Tumebo or Kanje, doesn't matter where you are, you know, trying to lease the land from government. You are told the rent is too high, or the process is too complex. Now, and then you read that another company got 50 years of land for $1 for $1 a month. Yeah? How would that make you feel? You know, you've been told, you're trying, and you're told, well, the rent is too high, and it's very complex. The process is just too complex. And then you pick up the paper, and you read that another company got 50 years of land, you know, for $1 a month. Well, you know how I would feel. I don't know. How would you feel? How would that make you feel? So, listeners, these are not just, these are not abstract numbers when we look at those. This is about fairness. Eh? It's about accountability. You know, it's about economic justice. So, I think, and basically, when we look at that, the implication, the broader implication, the situation also highlights a deeper structural problem, the weakness of oversight institution. We need to do better. Eh? We need to do better. Seriously. There is a big, I don't know whether that's deliberate though. We can say that it's a weakness, but there are those who are benefiting from that kind of weakness. So now, think of this now. You have the Minister of Industrialization and Trade, which oversees NIDA. Where are they? Where have they been? Shouldn't they have the power to review and revoke leases that don't deliver value? Shouldn't they have done that? And that's not all. You have now the Auditor General Office should be investigating whether these leases comply with the PFMA and the NIDA Act. Yeah? The Auditor General should have investigated that already. And then you have the Parliamentary Public Account Committee. Yeah? Should be asking. Yeah? They should be asking, who approved those deals? Yeah? What is the justification? Yeah? Who approved those deals? What is the justification? So you have all these, you know, institutions, and that's still, you can see the weakness of oversight in all these institutions. If none of that is happening, then we have the policy gap. A blind spot in the system that allows the misuse of public property under the banner of development. Well, some might argue, come on, maybe the rent is low because the tenants are building infrastructure or creating jobs. And yes, that could be the true, that could be true in some cases. But now, show us the evidence. Eh? Show us the evidence. Show us the employment record. Eh? Show us the tax return. Show us the social impact assessment. So, because development is not measured by what promised in the lease. Eh? It's not measured by what is promised in the lease. It is measured by what delivered on the ground. Show us the evidence. Where is the employment record? How many people are employed? Eh? Now, it is the time. I will let you come through now. It's time we start treating state property as a national inheritance. Eh? Maybe. I want us to treat the state property as a national inheritance. Not as a private playground for the connected few. Eh? We have laws. Namibia has laws. Namibia has policies. Eh? What we lack sometimes is the will to enforce them. And I'm saying it because it's benefiting some people. So when a state agency can lose 15 million without blinking, it tells you the culture of accountability is broken. It definitely tells you the culture of accountability is broken. Until that changes, industrialization will remain, I can tell you, will remain a slogan, not a life to reality. All right. What do you say? So Come through, please, and have your say.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Meg, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm fired up today. I'm angry.
No, you are not alone. Me, I'm even mad here. I'm going like a crazy person. After we just read that.
No,
$1? Yeah, $1 what? Come
$1
on,
per
man.
Month. And it's true.
Come on, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have people who have been like smaller in that premier. Suffering, like now I can give you an example. Go to Komboni now, and then you will ask them how much they are paying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why their business are not growing, because the where they are operating, you are minute, you cannot grow because
where do you
they
get
are.
The you're not.
Yeah.
Where do you get the money? Eh? Your lease that, is $1. What does $1 do? Eh?
Yeah.
The fruits that are being produced are delivered to retailers. And they don't claim
for
money.
For free. Come on, man. Just imagine. And you are complaining now, like, why the green scheme have to die?
Exactly.
Why they don't have to die? Because now, what's the return?
Yeah.
Where is the money, the profit that those people are supposed to make?
These grapes.
At least even they can have a bonus or something.
Yeah. The grapes and the dates, it noted them. You know, those are supposed to be, this is a way to die. The government has put up those, and I don't know who was that. The government normally put up this, some time of this project, but the one who are in charge of those, you know.
But anyway,
said,
Mike.
Yeah. Mm.
To ask you, who did you tell that report? Is it anti-corruption or where do you get it also holding
the
report?
That's a story in the Windhoek Observer.
Just imagine.
It's an investigation by the Windhoek Observer.
Where is anti-corruption?
Eh?
Yeah, we have institutions which you are paying for. Where is anti-corruption? Where is the... Just even there are a lot of organizations supposed to bring out of that report. And that's the problem I'm having in Namibia, that every time we have to hear things from the newspaper.
Yeah.
But we have people in the place who are supposed to do that job.
Mm.
But they are not really doing it. And sometimes when this thing has come out, like the other report, they start denying it. And then later on, no, because of what and what we didn't... Come on, man.
Mm.
This is really, really, I think even now, that board of directors, they're supposed to be locked up already.
There
you cannot tell me you are leasing a land for $1. $1 where you have a lot of unemployment, where you have a lot of people demonstrating because of employment.
Yeah.
Eh?
The other institution, for me, one thing that is, the other institution that's also lacking in terms of oversight, you have actually the Minister of Industrialization and Trade. They should they should have power to review and revoke leases that don't deliver value. Okay? You have the Auditor General. The Auditor General Office should be investigating. So whether now these leases comply, you know, with the law. Eh? And then you have the Parliament, you have the Public Account Committee. Eh?
They should be
able to ask, you know, who approved these deals? What was the justification of these deals? Eh?
But seriously, Mike, in Namibia, it's like, I don't know why even, it's like we don't have a government, seriously. Because once we have a government, they're supposed to oversee all the things which are happening in the ground.
Yeah.
Because the moment, it's like we have people who are just focusing on maybe to make money when they are there, because they are not paying attention to what is happening. You are a minister of that. Why you don't see these things happening? And I don't know.
I'm starting to see that the weakness of oversight, the weakness of oversight and reinforcing the law. I think there are many people who are actually benefiting from that.
Yeah.
So this is the loophole that needs to be, you know, to be actually considered seriously.
Mm-hmm. And Michael, this is what I told you, that it's a hard time, start firing.
Yeah.
Because if you are having people who are capable, like a minister of trade, and they are not seeing that, Why is she do there in the office? What are they doing if they cannot see this happening? And now, because there you have a director, you have a secretary, you have a deputy, that time, and you have even a minister himself. What all these people are doing?
Yeah.
They can see that there's something going on in Nida. Now, you are even having a director of what? Mr. Kanjeke and his team. What are they doing?
Yeah, the auditor general.
Yeah. What are they doing? If they cannot see that what is happening there.
Yeah.
And now we have also public committee, which are going around all of... You tell me they cannot see through what is happening in the...
The public...
People are doing it in... Yeah. There are people who are doing it like... you know, it's like done it wrongly, I mean, without them and knowing it. But actually, they know what they are doing.
Yeah. So
this is pure corruption.
Yeah. But the government, what it does, it's like, you know, a bucket with holes, you know? You're filling it with water. It will never be.
It will never be full. It will even to come in the level because there's too many holes.
There are too many holes. And sometimes, you know, these are the holes that we need actually to fill, to fill them. Otherwise, that means firing those who are not actually doing their work. You know, getting rid of the people that are misusing the public properties and public resources. Seriously.
Just imagine, you are giving retailers everything for free. And then we are here. Remember one thing, those fruits are going there. Sometimes even they end up in the school system. I mean, hostel.
Yeah.
Look, and how much hostel are they flocking, forking out their money to go and buy the food on those retailers. And the retailers are getting for free. What does it tell you?
Mm.
Are we learning the government like this, guys? Seriously, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
$1 a month. Yeah? Yeah?
For years.
Come on.
50, 30, 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. And this is what I was also crying. I said, no, it's a hard time people to be fired. Look here what happened. I think Sangwasa, if he's listening, he need to investigate what is happening in the municipality of Uwindo. You remember, every time I'm crying that, you know, Lamatex is supposed to be for SME. So people can operate there, even those people who don't have a space now who are fixing their mechanic cars under the tree, they are able to have a garage there at the Lamatex. Now, they locate that Lamatex for 25 years to Lani Group for 100,000 a month. What is that?
You see?
Come on, man. The economy is moving. And 100,000, what is that contribute to a municipality of Uwindo? Really?
But then what you do is that you actually provide a space for someone actually to grow their businesses.
It will grow because 100,000 is nothing for Tolani Group. Nothing at all. It's like $1 which you are talking about.
Yeah. Instead of you actually putting up a manufacturing plant for and create employment.
Employment.
And the diversity that we're talking about, you know?
No. We are not serious, man. And we need people who are serious now. Because remember one thing that these people, they think a lot of people, they are not able to do something. Look what even happening in the newspaper today. There's a young man who is saying this, and then his grandpa and his grandmother, they are waiting him because he cannot get his employment.
Yeah.
This is the same thing. But you know, the hunger, he turned to his grandparents. But this is government's own doing. He killed them.
Yeah.
But the hunger is supposed to be, because only those people, they allowed him. But if it was toward the government, what is that young man can be able to do?
Yeah. Well, this
we
mismanagement.
We are the ones all those.
This management put you on the street, definitely. There were
exactly.
Some. These things are connected, when we bring all this of little things here and then, they are connected, and
my friend.
And that's why we are in situation where we have high unemployment, where we have a problem of 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 uh, a slow economic growth, you know, all those kind of things. They are connected. Eh?
I'm telling you, my friend, all those poverty, all those suicide which is happening for men, it's because of mismanagement. They just imagine you are giving one peso to pay $1 a month. What is that, my friend, man? Yeah? In a country where you have been given a hostel with no medicine. Yeah? Guys.
And it's a very common agency that actually make a loss, a financial losses of 102 million, you know.
Just imagine. Anyway, Mike, let me give other people, because I'm total mad and crazy about that. Those, and because there's nothing happened up to now. There's no anti-corruption involvement. There's no police in. Nobody saying anything. Just imagine.
When I read the story, someone, I said, no. This.
No. Yeah. We cannot continue this way, man. No.
All right.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for coming through.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Our time is about 9 minutes, 6 minutes past the hour of nine. All right. Now, so if we can just, you know, maybe just summarize and reflect, and what are we taking from this? Now, first, really, transparency must be non-negotiable. I think it should be, you know, public institution like NIDA handle assets that belong to every Namibian. And we should understand that as Namibian, we should understand that this belong to us. It belong to every Namibian. And sometimes people think, well, it's a company on its own. That's our taxpayers' money. We have the right to know how those assets are used. And in the way they are used, and if they are not used properly, we need to see something. Yeah? Now, the Public Finance Management Act must be enforced. Yeah? Mismanagement is not just an internal problem. It should not be just seen as an internal problem. It's a national economic threat. That's a threat to a national economy. Seriously, look at where we are. It's just money. When you look at for how many years this has been, it's just money thrown in the water. What did it achieve? So the Public Finance Management Act must be reinforced. It must be reinforced. Yeah. And we shouldn't look at that. That's an issue of NIDA. Yeah. That's an internal issue. No. This is national. This is actually, as I said, it's a national economic threat. It's a threat to our economy. Yeah. So, and the industrial land. The industrial land should benefit active, productive businesses. Yeah? Not some speculative or political linked companies. Active, productive business. So we want companies that produce, companies that create work, create jobs. Yeah? And the biggest issue of all, accountability, leadership accountability. When those in charge refuse to answer questions, like a member of the board, it's not just arrogance, it's defiance. It's a defiance of public trust that they swore to uphold. Yeah? So we deserve better. We deserve better stewardship of our resources. We deserve people that are accountable to our resources, who are accountable to us. Eh? Not some arrogant people who, you know. Eh? No, seriously. All right, as I said, no, our people, we deserve agencies that work for us. Eh? Not the one that works against us. So when the fruits of our labor are given away for free, or our land, and our land leased for a dollar, we are not building an industrial nation. we are auctioning it off. We're honestly auctioning it off. We're not building industrial name. We're auctioning it off. Yeah? Well, I want to hear what you think. So what do you think about this? So accountability, I think, is not a threat to power. Accountability is not a threat to power. It's actually what gives power its legitimacy. So what is your take? Our telephone number, 08-3-3-6-0-9-1, 08-3-3-6-0-9-1. So I want to hear your take, 08-3-3-6-0-9-1.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. The I.
All right, a very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, very good morning and welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 9. And we have been looking at our first stories to this morning. And it's an investigation. It's an investigation by the Windhoek Observer that NIDA has been leasing land for as little as $1 Namibian per month and supplying fruit worth up to $15 million, you know, to retailer without collecting a cent in return. So that's what we have been unpacking and looking at what is really going on. So, and also, we're talking about an agency that also reported a loss of $102 million in its last financial year. So, yeah. What is your take? If you have been following, what are your thoughts on this? And well, a few things that we're looking at. When you're looking at how can an agency, a state agency, keep actually supplying for years like produce to retailers without demanding payment, you know, that make you think, is it this negligence or is it just incompetence or what is going on? So, or is this deliberate? Because maybe there are others, those who are benefiting from it. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning.
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm fine. I'm not too good in English, but I try to understand you.
We can hear you, man. We speak Namlish here.
Yeah. Michael. What do you say? How much they pay for payment?
$1. $1 million.
A rent.
Yeah,
lease for a land, you know, when you're leasing for a land, just for $1 per month. And that's for many, for some companies, for many years. $1, $5, $10, just in that range.
So that land group I mentioned there, how many years they give it?
Which language do you speak?
Oh, Shwambo.
Just go in your Shwambo for a few minutes, okay?
Yeah. Now, what I was saying?
Eh.
All I know, we have to enter Angapi. What wonder?
Orani?
Eh.
Aye, oyo winya osha osha shatumbro ige ku kwa wadenga tati kwa ninge ko reference. It's not. It's
oh, reference.
Rani is about 200. Oh. Patumbro kuche is about 200,000 a month or something like that. It's to cash Rani ka. Okita popio oshike or what is this? Shikano apa po poni ma po. Kita popio Ramatek. Yeah. Kwanjo example your Ramatek. No, that's not what we're talking about. Yeah.
Uh huh. Nandi muda poni na. Ocha ne. Five years on that renting ayo. Mara motuna ngono wangu tapumbwe nedete tu. Anu wangu tajanga neke ke vocation ako.
Yeah.
Mara tule bucha tu sete riga peniga.
Oh, nini mayo? Atu popcha pa?
De pai fortuna ta pe tu o fore de kita pe dunga ho si si na de ra iso fore na ni pa mwene. O to te dunga ipinga o panu gashiga no ba tu ni mayo o anave na anta tu kufuta.
Mm.
Maro no ta el me pa anda da ke siko tata ta ku mwene. Mona se ta ta ronge iriga ya poneropo. Na da proposing itapewash.
Yeah.
Mare proposing kwa taningwa. Mare siro anotoro boyewe sa hae ya pitoturu ito atinge shikeka. Tashiti, osimashini kwa isi juu, opuike mkare mkumo nge nukupu ya komisyon, ni mkare nataku mwe komisyon. Peta mekwe ka hapa, shike wa proposing kwa yeo tete. Osimashini kwa isi juu.
Yeah.
Opuike mbelewa ya sikura kwitoturu wali shirika. Ostashi mara poni imarwa, toteke seke wa mekuinanare, dono uki faike nga, otoe ndi faike prosa dea puti hapu. Malo si itomono saka. Mala mm. Kwa toa haa ningile kazi kusha hapira haa ningile kwa shita hafu la pamwe. Ini wale imo nige nubi. Na asende nengi ipo wano wadro kumwane ene la doki ima wai fiko kwano. Popuna wanuwe wa sritu dena dili ngomo sila ngomo. Deka dili ngomo utati tuku ningashiki.
Shosho ne akuti kucha. Ngengo topo pikucho wala ku okweta puilonga mo Namibia. Wala kulundro ngana mwenye wano.
Yeah.
Nena popeno maimbo ove kunashito ningiponana o kwa alundulula ilo kapu no mangwe ita etanana ikufepo maimbo neno wafenge uno hemere li nembururu nando utile momea ota apiti mwaiki tasi kunashi nana
ya kawafele totekelo simbaba hili
simbaba nana
yo totekelo simbaba
ya exactly
osiri ae wakweto osiri ae otuapupa ngo epolesa ima kutuwe diru ndurule muwanga osi uvanu avita duru nukuli isasi ondi wale ngo odimaiwe hai nguwa kosona vireja
ya
owe na ngoro osiroge na wai ni ucha ngengo otu kule ndingari no otu weumbo
ya
maosiri paise kusoku anoverine rendinga gasiko shikato shimuwa atupuwa po singa edu oshikulino ike
yeah.
Para ngu kulinovo atu tendela neme tala chayo unoka u neme tati fika hapa pao tati dine penya hapa poka panasha one eme tato ewa unawa nifa eme tato wachi paifu kuno kufuta kono etatalo shimaro waashi shingata shifuta kone watiko kwa development development ya bengayo nata watisha yange neme peni natako unu keni kucho kwa kunapo shikimanga
kuna shito druku ya nasho kumbanga kucho unokola transi ikupi
kuna ya kuna shaka maara baifu watera shino wanu anu aye wakutu miku hata nina shika na wata druku longa ni longa yoko maki anu wata nina pefe 35 kwa anu wiki mutekuna ngesefato tukufaminga ilo kwe kuninga shiki
yeah.
Anu aviri tapewe dula do 18 au tu 30 anu vumanga kave na mango oshike uju asha no responsibility asha
yeah.
Kave na asha mango ndi anu uviki watalikavo
Wawa ndika wende iture mwala sabi ni maita ngimanga. Sasike na sina kwa fwa sasi.
Yeah.
Ugweni wawa nukutariya kwa wano avo. Edura do, o waduro kutarawa sasi ove ni na kwa nifwa. Hmm. O maumbu avo wike wawo katolo maumbu avo kwa mensho. Ano ve edura do, setifai kwa kukapumbata. Ma ano vita atalia, muyusa kwa jamo. Pachike shivya o yusa.
Yeah, yeko penzeri na hangako.
Yeko penzeri na hangako. Ono ina hongwane, hongwane ni lo japo itaipuwa penya.
Yeah.
Ya, nina hata kono japo kiniwe imuanda, ono kaa unoraisi nisa, kwa kwa nifakwe ya mekamba, nito wano.
Hmm.
Kasi inwe aninga ijuka, anwe duradi, mtengasi uchako hapume shuwa na ngeipika.
Yeah.
Ya, oponele na tawale kwa shile kwa shile oshima sata mpopchondi chudi tiye mando shile kwa chudi kwa kene nai.
Ya.
Shafiye no ntima wangeno kuli. Oh, kwa inga chaye kwa mwenye shima tashe ene wana ndifani kwa tuni ni manata wata ipula kwa shile inga ha.
Ya.
Kwa mwanu ngota kwa kwa nito ya nuhu fiku shile nde nata kwa tuni ni mataye pedi kwa ngao. Kwa nukja kaja kwa.
Awa shile na wani.
Kajira.
Alright. So. 08333-66091 08333-66091 yeah, whatever language. How many language do I speak? yeah, many of language in Namibia I can hear, okay? You know, even if I can't speak them. All right, but try to speak in English. I would allow you if you can't really speak, all right? A very good morning to you.
Good morning, Dr. Soveri.
Hey, I haven't heard you for a while, man. What happened?
No, I'm around. I was just giving a break to other callers to participate also.
Yeah. So,
my brother, I'm 100% agree with the previous caller.
Mm.
You know, I'm no more 35. I'm running 40 now.
Yeah.
And if you check on this program was implemented or was what is that youth program fund?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'm excluded.
So because you're no longer a youth. Yeah.
I'm no longer youth. Mm. I'm not a, in the other.
Yeah, you haven't reached 68 for pension fund. Not, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not qualified. I'm not old. I'm not youth.
Mm.
I'm just in between.
And you are actually in the age, in the productive age also, you know? That's a productive age, you know?
Suppose.
Mm.
Yeah, but the government, to the government, we are not.
Yeah.
We are old, but we are not getting that pension money. So, by the time the program was introduced, I went to the governor's officer in Windhoek.
Yeah.
And I asked the governor, governor, how do you feel this program is going to benefit only from 18 and to 35? Some of us, we have a program, not a program, I mean company.
Yeah.
We have many things to do, but we are starting financially. We don't have money to fund our program.
Mm.
And we were promising me that he's going to the relevant authority,
yeah,
to propose that idea. Maybe they can do something better then.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting for him.
But we also have to understand that the government won't be able to support everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But the 18 years, 3 years, that person just come out of school yesterday.
Yeah.
He has no knowledge, he has nothing to do with it. So if you give him money or whatever, I don't think he would be a successful person. So those people did not suffer. The money is supposed to go to the people who know the life, who suffer, who know the business, who already some own business like especially like us.
Yeah. So what do you think of the study that we are running on? The one of Onida, actually leasing a rent on $1, you know, and $1, $10, you know, for 40 or 30 years. Hmm?
That is new on my ears. I never heard. I just came now to the radio. Maybe I should go back and
listen
to the topic. Maybe I can so that I can contribute. But now I don't know any idea.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right. No, but thank you.
Maybe you can repeat it again on the radio so that they can also listen and.
All right. Okay.
And hear what? Yeah. What is their way forward?
Okay. Great.
All right.
Yeah.
A very good morning to you. So you can come through and have your say as well.
Very good morning to you. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Familia, that's bon.
Ah, como esta?
Você disse fala muitas línguas, né?
Tem muito problema.
Não, não tem problema. Estamos bom.
Não tem problema.
Não, bom.
Ah, muito problema.
Não tem problema.
Não dinheiro.
Dinheiro vai aparecer.
Não tem dinheiro.
Não, dinheiro é tipo chuva, vai vir devagar e bem, não se preocupe. Um abraço, amigo.
I'm fine, yourself.
I'm fine, thank you. It's like when you know when you have a problem.
Yeah.
It's when you are sick, then you have one problem. Yeah, I let just fix my two brothers. The one I know, they are from the coast. And this one.
Yeah.
They were talking about the division of this youth, né?
Yeah, but that's not the topic, guys. Yeah.
No. I just want to fix that problem because maybe you go far. I saw something in the newspaper yesterday saying like.
Yeah.
They use the Minister of Finance, Erika Shafoda.
Yeah.
He is appealing to increase the years from 16 to 45.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how long it will take, but things have been talking about. Maybe I don't know how long it will take, but yes, they think that the progress is there. Things are they realize that people like the other caller, my brother Lucas. Thing like people are calling the youth are from those from 40 to 49 there. Then it's 30 to 49. They are the householder. They so on. It's true, but things have been looked and that meant to say they those who have 45 should be also included from 30 to 30, 45. It is a good thing anyway because we complain about it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, this is a pilot. It's a pilot.
Yeah.
Even if it's something that has been done in other countries before, but
yeah.
It's a pilot in Namibia. We have to learn from the mistakes that we are making.
Yeah.
So that one have to understand as well.
And it's like sometimes the things are caused by the leadership, you know. So when the whole come put his ideas and people follow his ideas and you know, sometimes the leadership also doesn't play much. But as you see now, things are really coming up. A lot of things are coming out.
Yeah.
Just if find people who stay in the state for many years because you don't qualify to buy houses. They had called that guy, my brother saying, Lucas saying like, no, I like the system of Osana Village. Yes, it's true because now you find out you are renting a house, you are a room to say so, you are paying let me say 6,000. You apply for a house which you'll pay let me say 4,000, but they'll tell you you won't qualify. I don't understand sometimes. Those are the things you need to be really look at. If I'm renting a house, I can pay 6,000. What if I want a house over, I can pay 5,000. I should qualify because I'm already doing the same thing.
But they look at many things. Let's say, for example, you are about 55. So you only have about 5 years to retire.
But you don't want to blame.
In terms of amount of money, you qualify, but in terms of the years that you will be working, you are not.
No, they don't look at the year and the years.
No, what because I'm saying, I'm just giving it as an example. There could be I'm just giving it as an example. So,
but now if you see things, people are having that problem, come up with a system which will support them, like this willing buyer, willing seller, what they are doing.
It's true. We need the question for me is that why would you build houses that cannot be afforded by the people that you want to build house for? you know. And also, as the financial institution, also looking at who are your customers, how, what are their problems, and be able to address, you know, the problem based on their problems rather than based on your rules and criteria and all that. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, you save nobody. All right.
Yes. And you know, I also, and infrastructure also is a part of our economy. So now, if you let me to live in the unserviced land for many years, who's losing? The government.
Yeah.
Me and you are losing because I'm not contributing anything. I don't pay electricity. I don't pay water. So what I'm doing? I'm losing a lot because you don't want to think. You're sitting in the bus driver.
All right. So
thank you, brother.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
All right.
Okay.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So our telephone number 08333 66091, 08333 66091. If you wanna have your comment or your thought on our topic this morning. We're talking about, you know, NIDA leases estate land for $1 a month. So good morning and welcome. All right. So yeah, maybe after it's 31 minutes past the hour of 9, and then after this commercial break, maybe we can get into the other stories as well.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And this is Unpacking the Day, if you're just joining us on Eagle FM. And I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli. Yeah, now we will be talking about, this is something that I wanted to talk yesterday. We're talking about the dramatic drop in Namibia's beef export. A sharp 50.8% fall for the year, so far. So now, and we have to understand that this is coming at a time when Namibia is already feeling the pinch in a variety of sectors. But let's see what is actually happening behind this big drop of this. Now, by the end of September this year, Namibia beef export had hit a serious slump, if you want, with only about 9.5 million kilogram, 9.5 million kilogram of beef exported. Now, compare that to 19.3 million last year. 9.5 million kilograms of beef, you compare that to 19.3 million last year. So that is a significant drop. And the reason for this, I think it's boiled to one thing, a shortage of market ready cattle. So that is the reasons why. Let's go to the caller and see what he have to say.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Yes.
How are you
this morning?
No, I'm good, good.
Yeah.
Now I'm disturbing your second topic.
No, it's all right. I would normally rather have just one topic for the day, but you know, when people are not coming through, so then you go to a second topic. Yeah.
Yeah. You Windhoek Observer report.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes, as I say, sometimes it makes no much sense to any, when you have no full response. Because if you look at the report, it said, this is the SOE which is getting money from the government.
Yeah.
And each financial year, they have to be audited.
Mm.
And on the look of things, on the look of the report, it doesn't really adding up that the Kanjeke was involved.
Yeah.
To see that the budgeting money which they were given have been producing anything.
Yeah.
That report does not exist. And the other issue, the locator of land, which was relocated to them by the, whether a local authority, I don't know whether it's by municipality or how do they, that is also a part of the monitoring and enforcing and policy.
Yeah.
Which we're also doing something there to see that, okay, the land that you are having, have you guys developed it or you give it to somebody who is busy developing or something like that?
Yeah.
So for us now to be living on this, those are the things that we need, especially in the Anti-Corruption Commission.
Exactly.
For it to, yeah, he needed those reports for him to see that, oh, this is needing to be, pay attention. We need to start knocking this door. Because for you to have evidence, you need these people.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Kanjeke.
Yeah.
And the monitoring and enforcement police.
Yeah.
Which is also guiding.
The thing that make us question is that when we investigate, for example, now when you're talking about the Windhoek Observer, when they are investigate and these things comes out. So that's where now you're kind of like, okay, what is going on here? You know?
No, so, that's why I'm saying these journalists, they are filing to be a whistleblower because it looked like it's a political comment. Yeah, to some of us, it looks like a political comment because once you find out that this is, who is responsible of SOE, as I said, the auditing general, it's a part of the budget. He is the one who is monitoring how much money were given to the ministries, how much money were given into the SOE.
Yeah.
So, and then he look at that, okay, the money that you use, for example, the fuel, let us look at the petrol books. Eh? So that you can see how much fuel was used. Because wherever you are using a government car, that's why Dr. Sankwasa was also saying, we don't need to give government car with number plate of government car, which are not using or with the police of the government. For example, a driving, petrol, what. Because the government car, it doesn't need anybody to put in fuel on that car. It's already authorizing by the government petrol police.
Yeah.
You understand? Fuel police. That is what they need. But if you look at those cars that are used by the traditional authority, they have their own driver. They have their own agenda, which is government don't know where that car is. That's why now Tambasa wanting to donate it to them so that they can be on their full responsibility of that car.
Yeah.
So that is another issue. As I said, Windhoek Observer needed to go back to auditing general and see that whether need or that company is in their list of be reviewed. You understand?
Yeah.
That is where you can have a case. That is where Madam President will be said, no, these people, they need to be called.
Mm.
You understand? Because they filing, they got money from the budget, but they are not using it because you guys are telling us that the product they are given for free.
Yeah, to the retailers. Actually, they don't claim. The money is not actually claimed. Yeah.
But if you look at the money that they are getting from the budget, what is that money for?
Mm.
Eh?
Those are the vision, my brother. Those are the things that we need to be clarified. You cannot just come and tell us that, no, they are given things for free. And next year, they come and getting money from the budget. They are using the money, donated whatever they are given. And then from there, what is really going on here? Do you think all of them, they are favoring them? Yeah. Do you think the program and committee are also favor them? Do you think that the Kajeka is also favor them? Do you think the office of the president is also favor them? No. Yeah. There are no such a thing. So we must go back, or he must go back into the Kajeka and say, I have a full report of this. Because you cannot follow those people, as he said, don't call me.
Yeah.
Because he knows the where they submit their books. That is where we can see their wrongdoing.
Mm. Yeah. Now, think, okay, sometimes, you know, when you are not in the context, I have worked quite a lot in a health environment, and uh-huh. sometimes when a person is not in that environment, they may not actually understand how things are done. Now, think of, imagine leasing now in a prime land in Wavish Bay or Chivarongo or something like that, and that uh-huh. you are paying less than, you know, let's say, for example, the 5.6 hectares, and is going for just $1 per month for 50 years or something like that. Let's say, for example, what has been recorded is true, you know. Mm-hmm. Would being now, that's what I want, someone in the government or someone in this context, how would mm-hmm. he explain this low leasing of government land?
Yeah, those one now they are coming, like, because there is a policy of leasing.
Yeah.
Yeah, or renting some of the leasing, if you look at the rent act. Because some people are located the land, for example, those the resettlement program, and then they're renting for somebody else.
Mm.
So this lease now is on the... It's on the need, or need. Is it need or...
NIDA, yeah.
Yeah, NIDA, N-I-D-A.
Yeah.
Okay? And then that one now, they give to somebody else. Which is now, doesn't much making sense to say they give it for free or for $1 lease or per month, because the product that they are doing there on that land is for who?
Yeah.
It's for themselves or for the need.
Mm.
That is now another issue, which is, I'm saying, needing more clarified that. No, like the guy that he crossed, or what is the guy that he said from Nanko? Yeah, he was also a part of those lease. Yeah. Those are the people. Maybe that is
Velemse. Yeah.
Yeah, Velemse. That is maybe a rigid deal with their do. But the money that they are getting from those deal now, where it's going?
Yeah.
Because that is where the problem is. This dollar that you are talking about is going away. Because this thing have a lot of people that they are monitoring it. Not only one person, the board is also monitoring that. And the board is not a part of the need. No. They are appointed to do the reviewing there on that entity.
Yeah.
Which the report is confusing me. That's why it takes me time to think about it and look at it and say, oh, wow. So they give to this one, which means they are not doing anything. They are not getting money from the government. But after you say no, they are producing and they give it for free without following up that, have you received our deliverable note? So the quantity of that is costing this. Where are the money?
Yeah.
Because those retailers, they are paying. Those have they have books. They know what they are receiving. It's reviewed by the accountant, by the bookkeeping guys. And then they are the one that said, this money is belonging to who? To the person who's supplying us with this.
Hmm.
And we keep it in ourselves because there is no clear invoice. So Mike, I'm confusing the listeners because I'm speculating. Yep. Yeah. So it's a long story to make it a case. That's why anti-corruption is always insane. We don't have a case because we have no concrete evidence.
Yeah.
That say it was done by this way. So anyway, yeah, continue with your second topic.
All right. No, thanks for coming, Adrian. Right,
you're welcome, my brother.
Okay, great. 0833-66091. Our time is about 45 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have about 15 minutes. Let me go to my second topic. And, I'm gonna close my line at the moment so that I do this. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I was talking about that we're talking about the 50% of a drop of 50% this year in terms of export. Export dropped to 50%. So now I was saying that at the end of the report of at the end of September this year, the beef Namibia's beef export has really, you know, dropped so dramatically, with only about 9.5 million kilogram of beef exported. Now, if you compare that to last year, which was 19.3 million last year. Now, and I think that's a really, really, really significant drop. And I was saying that the reason for this, it's actually come to one thing, the shortage of market-ready cattle. So the livestock and livestock product board of Namibia, the LLPB, has confirmed that fewer cattle are being sent to the abattoirs, mainly because we just don't have enough cattle available for slaughter. So we don't have enough available cattle for slaughter. And now, Namibia has long prided ourselves on beef industry, one of the most successful agriculture export in our country, with a large, you know, chunk of our beef heading to Europe. Many of our beef actually go to Europe. I think, and it has, as I said, this is one of the successful industry or successful agriculture export in our country. Now, this shortage means we are not just exporting less beef. So we are not just exporting less beef, but we are also losing the market share. So the market share in some key international markets. So that's include part of Asia, you know, where we traditionally been competitive as well. And so that, which is very crucial. It's very, very, very important to understand that, well, it's not about the quality of our meat. It's not about, you know, it's that we're not producing enough. And then, well, definitely when you're not producing enough, you may lose some market because you're not, and they have to look somewhere. Now, maybe the question we should ask, what is happening here? So what is going on? So the first thing we need to address is the cattle shortage. Maybe let's go into that. Now, according to the LLPB, there has been a nationwide shortfall in cattle supply, which they say is due to a low cattle throughput at abattoirs. Now, what that means is that fewer cattle are being slaughtered. Okay, that simply means there are fewer cattle being slaughtered at abattoirs. Now, we're talking about a 30.8% year-on-year drop in a cattle marketing just in September. So from 26,000 animal in 2024 to just over 18 this year. So that
So yet to date, the situation is even worse, with 50.3% drop in the total number of cattle marketed. So now, why are we in this situation? So what happened? So why are we in this situation? So they say there are complex mix of factors. There is a complex of mix of factors, but one significant reason is that Namibia has been dealing with drought conditions over the past few years. So, and that have really, and these weather extremes have not only made it harder for farmers to sustain their health, their animal, but have also contributed to a poor grazing, then affecting the health of the cattle as well. So, we're looking at smaller cattle that, you know, you like individual that we are grazing, that we are farming, they wouldn't be in a condition where you can sell them to the abattoirs, because they don't look fat enough, they don't look, you know, healthy enough for that purpose. I think given the drought condition and poor grazing condition, I think that has affecting the health of cattle. So, and now that in return has meant fewer cattle ready to make to the market. So that's what created the problem. Now, the other contributing factor is land reform. So, and this is a very crucial issue. Land reform is a very crucial issue for Namibia, and especially for Namibia's socioeconomic development. So we have seen that redistribution of land without sufficient resources or technical support has left some commercial farmers actually struggling maintaining their animal, their herds. So there are fewer now there are fewer cattle on land, and the producers who are still able to farm don't have the necessary infrastructure or financial resources to increase throughput. So this creates now then a bottleneck. Okay, then it created a bottleneck. Fewer cattle to be slaughtered means fewer cattle available for export. So that's just logical. So now that's the situation that the Namibian farmers found themselves because of those factors. Now, maybe let's look quickly at the economic then impact. What would the economic impact? Because this is crucial, you know, it's the most crucial part, because it is not just about farmers. A 50% drop in beef export has actually a ripple effect throughout the economy. So it doesn't only affect the farmers, definitely affect you as well. First, let's talk about a price of beef. So the LLBP, the LLPB, not BP, report that producer prices of beef have actually risen this year. So even if there has been a drop in terms of export, of a number of animals being slaughtered, there has been actually in terms of price up to 14.3% year to date. So the price of weaners, those young cattles being cautioned, being auctioned for breeding or maybe fattening as well, has also increased nearly by 18%. So, which is actually good for the farmers. So, but then you might be thinking, but that's really good. That sounds good, right? So, higher prices for local farmers. Well, yes, and it's a yes and no. Okay, so it's a yes and no, because the farmers are getting, while the farmers are getting more money for their cattle, the problem is that export volumes actually are low. And that means less supply for the international market. So yes, they get more money for their cattle, but the supply is quite low. Now, and less supply, with less supplies often leading out to what? You lost a market share, especially in countries. We have a country like Norway where we and the European Union. So where we have historically enjoyed a very strong ties, a very strong trade ties with those European Union and specifically with Norway. So you will lose that market share. So that's a fear for that. So, and one most important thing, Namibia's beef, I mean, it's very known for its quality. We are known for our quality of beef. But when the supply is short, other countries, you know, we have countries like Brazil or Argentina, they are more willing, actually. They are more even, they will be happy to fill in the gap. Yeah? So they will be happy to fill in the gap. So now the direct consequences of this is a decrease in revenue. So as we can see, it's a decrease in revenue from export, and with a decline in export, we are likely also to see a reduction in government revenue as well. So, and that trickle down now. So it would have an impact if there's a reduction in government revenue, this would impact the national budget, and then any shortfall in an agriculture export directly affect funding. In fact, funding for other critical sectors as well. So as we're talking about a free education, if there is a reduction in government revenue, how would be able to fund education? How would you be able to fund health? How would you then create infrastructure? It's a ripple effect that would be felt across the economy. All right. So let's have the last one. Good morning. It's unpacking the day.
Good morning, Mike. How are you? Sorry to come back again. No, 1 minute.
Yeah. All right. Quick.
Yeah. You know, Mike, man. My God, this is not a surprise when it comes to Mitiko.
Yeah.
Because Mitiko is already having two competitors, like Buffalo, Nam Buffalo something, and Savannah.
Yeah, but the drop is a countrywide. It's not just about the drop of beef export is countrywide, not just only with Mitiko.
Oh, it's countrywide.
Yeah. It's not the drop in terms of export is not just about Mitiko. It's the beef from Namibia has dropped to 50 point something percent. Mm.
Is this having to do with the tariff of American ones?
No. It hasn't to do with that. Some of the factors are drought. The drought has contributed to not be able to, have animal in a good condition for market.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but the issue is the export has been dropping. You know, slowly we exporting less meat, less beef than what we used to do. And the concern is actually losing our market share. Especially to some of our trade partners, you know.
But I think when this, at time also to look for internal markets.
Yeah.
Like in African continent.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because we are too much exporting in outside American and Europe.
Yeah. No. Definitely. But, definitely. That should.
What about we look? Yeah. We look after. Recently we have an open farmer applying to Ghana, and I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
Can we go back again?
Yeah, but the question here now,
yeah,
if we say that one of the biggest factor is the drought, how do we mitigate that? So we don't end up actually, the whole meat, because that's also a reduction in government's revenue.
Very much.
And if it's a reduction in government's revenue,
what it means that that will trickle down into government's budget, you know.
Yeah.
And that would affect, you know, education, affect other other sectors that you want to fund. You understand?
Fund. Yeah.
That's the problem.
But for me, Mike, also, we need to start changing our the way we do farming.
Yeah.
In Namibia. Because the main thing is that we depend on South Africa when it comes to fodder and everything.
Yeah.
For our animals. What about we start empowering those ones who come up with fodder and so on?
Hmm.
Animal, like, no, I mean, no, animal foods.
Yeah.
Because up to now, even our chicken, we depend on South Africa to supply us. Yeah. But if we are doing it that one in ourselves, it will even reduce the cost for transport and so on.
Yeah. So when there's no change in those kind of things, someone is benefiting. Someone somewhere in a very good position is benefiting. And it doesn't see the need to change.
that is the problem that we have. Because now, if you are not focusing on to try to go internal, then we also try to start. Because I'm telling you, go to Zambia now. Zambia is supplying us with even like maize, and they are having enough stock even for 5 years. But us here, we are struggling because we are not really. We are just too much on all of us. We are just doing the same thing. Farming for animals, but when it comes to food production, like for production and what for chicken, and our cattle, we are really doing a little bit.
Yeah.
Only some farmers are doing it, and again, they are not having enough support to produce in the large scale.
Yeah, all right.
And that time, I think we have to focus on that area.
Yeah.
All right, Mike.
Great, man.
Sure.
All right, our time is about 2 minutes past the hour of 10. Yeah, basically, looking at the long-term agricultural, even when you're looking at our agricultural policies, so the National Development Plan and the Vision 2030, they emphasize the need for sustainable agriculture and increased livestock productions. But we're going the other way around. We are going the other way down. We're going in a different direction. So Namibians' focus has been on ensuring that agriculture can contribute meaningfully to the national development. But the current situation, I think, raises some tough questions about the effectiveness of these policies. All right. Are they being effective enough? Well, that is something that you and your colleague and your family and, you know, your neighbors can discuss, you know, whether you have on the dinner table, on the lunch meetings, wherever you find yourself. Those are issues that we should be discussing. Well, let me hand over to Wintuk colleagues and to Tate Franz, who is coming up with Kwitha Mosha. Well, from me, Mike Chauvelli, let me say my goodbyes until tomorrow. Let's tackle another issue that affect you and I tomorrow again. At the same time, on the same frequency here on Eagle FM. For me, it's a goodbye for now. Until tomorrow.